I'll ask my colleagues to start the recording.
Thank you.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the At Large Review Working Party 19 call held on Wednesday, 6th of October 2016 at 1200 UTC. On the call today on the English channel we have Cheryl Langenore, Holly Ray, Tijani Benjema, Olivier Crepin Leblanc, Wanda Cartesini, Ellen Greenberg, Satish Babu, Reitne Citiero, Sebastian Bachelet, and Eduardo Diaz. On the Spanish channel, we have Aida Noblia and Alberto Soto. On items team, we have Tom McKenzie and Nick Trom. We have received apologies from Fatimata Sayedilla, Kylie Kemp, Leon Sanchez, and Heidi Ulrich as well. From staff, we have Lars Hoffman, Ariel Liang, and myself, Yishim Nazar. And for today, our Spanish interpreters are Sabrina and Veronica. Finally, I'd like to remind everyone to state their names before speaking, not only for the translate purposes, but also for the interpretation purposes as well. And over to you, Cheryl and Holly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nassim. I can start, and if Cheryl wants to add, that's fine.
Hello, this is Rosa Delgado. I just joined.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Starting to be in preparation for the meeting in Hyderabad, but in the meantime, this is a call to actually see where we're up to with the survey and what further steps we have to take. I hope all of you have filled out the survey form that Tom is about to talk with, and we're going to look at some measures we might need to, if we need further response, which I think we do, what we're going to do and what we're going to do for outreach. But in the meantime, Cheryl, do you have anything to add? And if not, over to you, Tom.
Okay. All right. Hello, everyone. This is Tom speaking. Thank you all for being here. We're very much aware that the more civilized the hour is for us, the more uncivilized it is for just about everyone else on the call. So thank you all. I'm just going to talk you through very quickly the results of the survey so far. Just as a reminder, I'm just now seeing what you can all see. If we just go to the next page, please, or have I? I've got control.
You've got,
so that's
right. We've all got right.
I've got control. So just as a quick, very quick reminder, the survey was launched officially on the 12th of September. That's to say just over 23 days ago, 3 weeks ago this week. It was launched simultaneously in all parts of the world, and we were very grateful for the support that we were given to announce, to communicate the survey through various mailing lists. And what we can report already today, I'm going to go straight into the figures, is that we have a very, what we consider to be a very respectable response rate from all parts of the world. We have, as of today, 150 responses from a total of 46 countries around the world. And so that's already a very good result, considering that we are, I think it's important to point out, only just into about halfway into the whole survey period. The originally defined survey period, which will take us to the end of this month, October. So there we are. There you can see that we have 150 responses from 46 countries. We've listed on both sides of this slide the countries, all the countries from where we have received responses. And you can see, I suppose, the most striking block, perhaps, is that big chunk of 30.4, which represents the United States. So the United States still does have a much larger number of stakeholders or people who are interested or in spontaneously responding to this kind of survey. The second chunk, just for your, the second largest chunk for your information, is Canada. So we really do have a very sort of large proportion, if you like, from North America. And it would be good, if anything, to learn from this slide that we really do need to sort of push more responses or from other parts of the world. I'm just going to move on. This is a simplified version or representation of the previous slide. So it just shows you the responses per global region. And in fact, this actual pie chart needs to be slightly corrected because, as you know, we have been running three surveys simultaneously. The main one, which is the English version of the questionnaire, and then we've got French and Spanish versions of the same questionnaire running simultaneously.
May I interrupt you there? Sorry, this is Holly. Just a question. If you've got 30.4 from the United States, but the next region, if you look at the next region, according to the next region, the biggest seems to be from AP Rollo. I don't understand that difference.
Right. Now, let me see. Right. Hold on just one second. AP Rollo. And hold on, just let me check.
Maybe
I'm just scrolling through the two. Sorry?
North America should be at least 37% if it's Canada and
right.
the US.
Okay, No, there is a reason. I'm sorry for this. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Listen, you keep going ahead. I'm just, maybe when you...
No, you're right. No, you're right. And there is a reason, which is that, and it's actually another point that I wanted to make, and which is that, in fact, it's a very important point, which is that all the charts that we are showing you today are fairly... high level. That's to say that they are not; they do not have anything like the precision that we will of the charts and pie charts that we will be using in our report. That's to say that the very first chart, which is the countries one, that is a chart. Which I created that one. That's not something that was automatically generated. This one, the one that you can now see on your screen. And so that is a chart which shows you all respondents, whether they are staff members, whether they are anybody who's responded. They have that's how that representation comes out. This next one is a reflection of the at-large community. It's the, if you see what I mean. So it's not, we're not taking into account in this particular representation the representatives of SOs and ACs and these people, and these other kind of respondent categories. So it was a very good question, and it gave me an opportunity to clarify that it's very important that you should, all people on this call, should be aware that these are very high-level representations of what's going on, which lack the precision which we will be extracting in the weeks ahead, and which we will be presenting to you in Hyderabad. But that, I'm afraid, is the best that we can do at this stage. Is we can extract a sort of general impression of what's going on. And this vision will get better, more precise as we move forward.
Look, I've interrupted. Please go ahead. Thank you.
No, but it was a very good question, and we now get onto the next slide, which is about language. This is the question in which we asked people to state which was their first mother tongue, and actually you see a very surprising, this again was a question which was asked to all respondents. So this is not just the at large, but everyone else. And this, again, you see a very large number of respondents stating English as their first language. That section is likely to be somewhat smaller if we just represent the at-large community, but still, it does show, suggest that a very large or majority of the people participating in at-large discussions do have English as their first or mother tongue. So if we move forward, this is a simple representation of the age and gender of respondents. And so you see that a vast majority of respondents are aged between 40 and 59 years old, a very small number of 15 to 19-year-olds, a significant number of 20 to 39-year-olds, and quite a large number as well of 60 to 74-year-olds, more sort of the older or senior members of the community. So that is good, but it does suggest that we could focus a little bit more on these other age groups, the smaller age groups. And then when it comes to the gender of respondents, I mean, there's a very conspicuous majority of male respondents to the survey was 70 to 29% for female respondents, and only a slither of non-identified. But that suggests, I mean, that we do need, if possible, it would be good if we could try somehow to boost the number of female respondents to the survey. After all, at large is intended to be for all internet users, so we should hopefully aim to have a more sort of a fairer distribution of male and female respondents. This next slide that we're now on is the connection. The question in which we ask people to specify their connection to the at-large community before responding. And so here you see that the at-large community represents 33-34% at the moment of respondents. There's a 28.7% is ICANN supporting organizations, and it's actually quite important to point out that within ICANN supporting organizations, most respondents are from the GNSO, and there are very few respondents from the other supporting organizations and advisory committees, so we really do need to to work a bit more on those other, CCNSO, ASO, and etc. Those communities either have, you know, zero or very few, or one respondent. And then the board of directors at the moment is also, we have three, but I think it's for a survey like this we would need to have responses from as many as possible, you know, ideally all members of the board and the CEO, of course, to get their points of view on the situation, on what's going on. And then we have ICANN staff, 12, that's sort of to be expected, and internet users non-affiliated to ICANN at 36. And I think it's important just to point out that the people who are non-affiliated, there are respondents in that category who have been affiliated in the past, so they do know the at-large community, but some of them have moved on. So we are now on this slide 8, which is the typology of ALSs. So now this is zoomed in. It's important to say it's zoomed in exclusively on the at-large community. So we've excluded all the other respondents from these charts. So we have on the left there the years of at-large membership, and so that's quite a nice even distribution of older and newer ALSs. Hold on, someone's scrolling down a bit. I don't know if that's a deliberate scrolling down just to sort of speed me up, but I'll just quickly, I mean, I am coming to the end, it's just to say that that middle chart shows that a vast majority of at-large structures are ISOC chapters, and then there's a sort of smaller distribution of other types of ALS there. And then you can see that we also have quite a nice distribution on that chart on the right of larger and smaller ALSs. So from everything from the one member through to the very large membership organization. Right. Obviously, we would be happy to answer any questions on the responses on that we have received so far. We do also have a few just bullets there on some of the issues that are coming to the surface through the comments sections of the survey. We did want to just point out that as far as the survey is concerned, we really do feel it's too early at this stage to give you a much more sort of specific analysis of what people are saying and the issues, the salient issues that they are expressing, because there are many, many things which they are saying, but we have not yet had the time to analyze those findings, and that's more the kind of presentation that we're going to give you in Hyderabad. But we have prepared this final slide.
Okay, fine. Alan has his hand up. Why don't we wait until you finish the presentation, and then we can take questions. So, Alan, you're first off the cab off the rank.
That's fine. Tom said he's asking for questions, so I put my hand up. So you can wait.
Okay, Tom, you said you were at your last slide?
Yeah, I mean, these, as you can see, these are the two last slides. So we have the issues, some of the issues that have come to the surface through the survey, and this is just a final slide on our milestones between now and the end of the year. So if you like, I can just run through very quickly. I mean, this particular slide, or you can read it for yourselves. The issues that people are very much sort of passionate about but equally divided about are the issues of accountability and the actual mission at large. There seems to be there's a sort of discrepancy of what people actually think at large is there for. So that's definitely something which we will be looking into more. There's quite a few people are commenting on tension, if you like, between the need to maintain institutional capacities and institutional memory within at large versus this imperative to renew leadership and identify the next generation of leaders. This is an issue that you yourselves, many of you on this call, have talked to us quite frankly about. And so that's also coming up from the respondents to the survey. The capacity of RALOs to engage with end users, that is something which is discussed in all kinds of different ways with very different views, again, about how that might be enhanced. And you have people who are very critical of the RALO system, others who defend it, others who suggest other alternative ways in which the community could be organized. But again, this is an area which we will need to be looking into and will be looking into. So then there's stark differences of opinion on RALO efforts to engage with end users in each region and the appropriateness of the system of RALOs to ensure end user representation within ICANN. That is a little bit like the previous point, and there are several quite interesting ideas which we will be looking at about how the community can improve the way it organizes itself and is represented within ICANN. And then there's also this, in the penultimate point, quite a lot has been said about the need for a better kind of coordination of efforts between ICANN, the organization, and ICANN, the community. So it's we've been sort of told that there's a lot going on, that ICANN as an organization is organizing a lot, but there's not always a perfect sort of match between what ICANN, the organization, is doing and what ICANN, the community, sort of expects or might be able to benefit from in terms of sort of synergies and organizing joint events and this kind of thing. And finally, there's an effective use of the effective use of translation and interpretation services. Again, you know, there are lots of people who are calling for the translation and interpretation services. And on the other hand, you have people who clearly need to use these services but who find them to be less than perfect. And so it's a very difficult issue, it's something that we will, again, we've only just started a sort of a group work on this, but it's obviously an issue which needs to be looked at more. And so that's it, really, as far as the main issues are concerned. And finally, if you like, I can just show you this simple slide, which is our next milestones. We shall be presenting, making a much more detailed and precise presentation of the survey during Hyderabad. Before the Hyderabad meeting, Nick Thorne will be participating in the Indian School on Internet Governance, which is just before the Hyderabad. On the 30th of November, according to our contract, we have the presentation of an interim report. And in fact, I meant to include a line just before the interim report to say that we are actually thinking very seriously amongst ourselves as a team that we would like to have a week retreat where we all get together ourselves and to write the draft of the interim report, and that will take place in the very first week of December. So what we would like to propose is that we postpone the delivery of our interim report from the 30th of November to the 5th of December. The final milestone is the IGF in Guadalajara, which we propose to have as the North America regional event, which we propose to attend and to include as the North America regional event. So once we will have attended that meeting, we will have covered the five global regions. And that is it for now, and I would welcome any questions.
Well, you've got two right here. Alan, go ahead, please. Thank you.
Thank you. A couple of comments, but first a question. You said you had 36 responses from non-affiliated people, although they may have been affiliated in the past. Where did you get those from? Were those people who attended conferences you participated in? I'm just curious. It's a rather large percentage and a large number for people who say they have no affiliation at all with ICANN.
I know. I mean, these are people who are identifying themselves as non-affiliated, and actually we've started. I can't say that I've had time to go through every single one in detail, but it looks like these are people who have been affiliated, at some time in the past, and who are no longer involved, who choose to identify themselves in this way because. The only explanation for them having answered is that they have received information regarding the survey, and the only channels of information for the survey, or the main channels of information, have been the mailing lists, the ICANN and the at-large mailing lists, and to a certain extent, we have been raising awareness about the survey during IGF meetings and this kind of thing, regional, local, national meetings, IGF national events. And so I guess there are likely to be a few people who are in that kind of category. But
yeah,
we will give you...
Sorry, go ahead.
No. I mean, I think we do, and we will be looking into these figures in more detail. But for us, that particular pie chart tells us is that we need to reinforce the at-large participant chunk section of the chart. And so what that means is that we need to, you know, send out another set of emails through the at-large mailing lists, just to encourage people to respond, because a 46 out of 200 is okay, but it still needs to be increased. I mean, I think out of a community of 200 ALSs, it would be better if we could be closer to 100 ALSs, and then obviously that chunk of non users, I mean, would be reduced.
Yeah, thank you.
In other words, the size of these segments, each segment sort of changes quite a lot in sort of size by the day. But suddenly for some reason that non-affiliated chunk got a bit bigger over the past few days. But it's only a sort of indicator for us that we need to boost on the other fronts.
Yeah. Thank you. I wouldn't have thought you had participated in that many ICANN events in the 3 weeks that the URL for the survey has been available. That's why what triggered the question.
We haven't participated, but we have.
Okay.
For example, we monitor many of the IGF meetings that are going on around the world, and we know that there are people, you know, even on this call, who've been participating in IGF and other kinds of meetings in various parts of the world. And what we tend to do at that in those cases is that we say, this is a survey that's going on. It's likely that you'll have a sort of interest in what's going on, and so please respond. We haven't physically participated, but we have.
Yes, I do. Sorry, that was just a curiosity. I wasn't looking for a detailed analysis of it.
Okay.
A couple of observations, and most of them are made because I just filled out the survey last night. So it's fresh in my mind. And a couple of observations on your observations. First of all is the size of ALSs. You said there were some as low as one. Now, I didn't answer that question, so I don't know what the gradation was in the options. I sure hope no one said they only have one, but I'd be interested to know who it is, since that sort of violates the whole concept of an ALS. You said there was a lot of diversity in answering the mission of at-large question. That's not surprising. You may recall that when we were looking at this initially, I said all of those answers apply to some extent. And since you only gave people the option of answering one, different people weighted them differently. But, you know, each of those, in fact, is true for some segment of the population. So it's not particularly surprising you got a split in that. On the issue of leadership and turnover, in my mind anyway, the situation is very different from different regions. So again, it's not particularly surprising there's diversity in the answers, because depending on the perspective of the person answering them, there may be a very different answer even among those tightly coupled into the ICANN world. And lastly, on teleconferences, I think you asked the question of, you know, are the remote participation facilities good?
are the opportunities for remote participation good? And in my mind, we provide excellent opportunities, but they don't always work, largely because of the quirks of the world phone system and things like that. So we may be doing as good a job as ICANN physically can do, but that doesn't mean the end results are necessarily usable in all cases. So again, you're going to see splits depending on how people interpreted some of those questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani, you have your hand up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Holly, and thank you, Tom, for this presentation. Do you hear me well?
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you. First of all, I can say, according to this survey, that the population of the Aptash community is a little bit old. This is something that is a little bit surprising for me. I didn't know that people over 16 are so many. Anyway, this is only an observation, but I have a big concern about this survey. I can say that the proportion of the at-large community, all in all, affiliated and not affiliated, is less than 60% of the respondents of this survey. If the conclusion that you presented at the last slide are based on this, on this configuration, that means on only 60% of the at-large community participating, I'm afraid it will not represent, it will not lead us to good recommendations for the review, because the review is the review of at large. I am very happy to have the other parts of the ICANN community respond to this survey so that we have a feeling of what the people think at large, outside at large. But for the improvement of at-large, I think that the community of at-large should have the preponderant say. And if with 60% only, I don't think it will be a good representation, and I don't think it will lead to a good improvement of at-large. Thank you.
Thank you. And Cheryl has her hand up. Cheryl, go ahead, please.
Okay, I wondered whether someone wanted to respond to Tijan.
Oh. Okay. Tom?
Oh, I think to Johnny, I think that's a very valid and important point. I think there are two things to say, which is that we will not be merging, or we will be separating out, to put it more simply, we'll be separating out the responses that are given by members of the other supporting organizations within ICANN and the at-large respondents. So there will be no confusion there about who is saying what. But we did think, and I think we agreed during previous calls, that we needed to have, in carrying out a review like this, we needed to have the views of people within the other supporting organizations and even beyond the organization. So we needed to have all these responses, but in dealing with them, we will deal with them separately. Now, when it comes to the size of the respondent pool from the actual at-large community, I think I've already sort of said in answer to Alan's point earlier that we do need to make that bigger. And to a certain extent, we're counting on you as the heads of RALOs to make sure that the members, the ALSs that are parts of your RALOs, members of your RALOs, really are getting the message that this survey is happening, and that they are very sort of strongly, should be strongly urged to respond. And if they, you know, stubbornly refuse to respond, I don't know what, you know, much more we can do about that. As far as our own efforts are concerned, we have sent out individual emails. We have the ICANN staff, in coordination with ICANN staff, many emails have been sent out through the mailing lists to target the community itself. And I believe we've actually also sent out individual emails, or I did anyway. I sent out emails to the representatives of all the RALOs urging you to send out mails to your messages to your members. So I think that lots of effort has already gone into this, but no doubt more effort should go into targeting this respondent, this kind of respondent, for sure. Anyhow, so that I hope answers your concern about that. Do you want me to answer some of the other questions about from Alan? Or?
Well, Cheryl has her hand up, and does as and Alberto does as well. And then any other additional issues we can deal with after that. But Cheryl's got her hand up first, and then Alberto. Thank you.
Thanks, Holly. It's just an observation. It was triggered by one of the points Alan was making, so Tom may want to pick it up when he responds to some of that later, and we could sort of go straight to Alberto. Regarding the opportunities and the effectiveness of the communication and interpretation translation tools, something has happened recently, not so much in our at-large community calls that I'm aware of, but certainly it does happen in some of the calls that our communities are engaged with, such as the Asia-Pacific Regional IGF meeting calls and things like that. But it's also happening quite a bit lately in some of the GNSO calls relating to subsequent procedures for new GTLVs. And that's where we have leadership of calls who are relatively newbies, and they are simply not using the tools effectively, and or making sort of rookie mistakes, such as relying on an Adobe Connect phone connection rather than getting an actual plain telephone or Skype-enabled, VoIP-enabled phone connection. So, you know, we have ridiculous amounts of time being wasted in calls where people can't hear each other or whatever. And they're the sorts of things that will bias responses there. Not sure what we can do with that other than be aware and the analyse, but I just wanted to say that that is something that I've recently noticed, and that may affect some of our data collection. So let's go to Alberto now.
Right, thank you. Alberto?
Go ahead, please.
This is Alberto Soto. Thank you very much, Holly. In the first statistics, when you mentioned the percentage for North America and then the regions, well, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that in the first stage you counted individuals, and in the second graph, you measured the RALOs, the participation of RALOs, and not individuals. And that is my comment. That percentage being indicated there as a RALO is not so far away from the participation that each RALO has in their monthly meetings. Perhaps if we do more outreach, we can get a better number. But I believe we are facing a structural problem regarding participation of people within each RALO. For example, in LAGRALO, we have 50 ALSs, and generally in a monthly meeting, we are not more than 20 ALSs or 18 ALSs participating. So, and we did that making a lot of efforts because at the very beginning, we were only 7 or 8, and we have leadership communications that are not transmitted as they should. For example, we have a reminder, but a reminder for a meeting like this comes to us, but indeed we need to see the importance of these type of meetings or this review for each of the ALSs. So I believe we have many problems that we need to face, and some of these problems should be faced simultaneously. Thank you.
Thank you, Alberta. Tom, do you want to have a quick response before we, see if anybody else can contribute, and then we're going to talk to perhaps some more ideas for outreach? And Rosa has raised her hand. Rosa first, go ahead, please. And then Tom. Rosa?
Rosa,
you raised your hand. Oh, okay, Tom, go ahead.
That was a very interesting point that was just made by Alberta just then. And what I would say is that as far as there is one point just to make about the participation of from the LAC region and the African regions in this particular pie chart, which are slightly under-evaluated in this chart, or underrepresented in this chart. And that's because of we're carrying out the three surveys simultaneously. So this is the representation of what's going on in the main survey, the English version of the survey. But we have had a certain number of responses from in Spanish for the LAC survey and in French for the other one. And so that would increase the LAC and African sections of this particular chunk by several percentage points. So those two regions are underrepresented in this particular chart at the moment.
Thank you. That means that probably the figure for the ALAC participation will go up as well.
And it will go up slightly as well. Yeah.
Yep.
I think it's very important that we should be emphasize that these are sort of rough pictures of what's going on at the moment, and with a need for a little bit of adjustment and explanation.
Okay. Thank you. Now, Rosa, you have your hand up. Rosa, is she on the call? No, Rosa, no, we cannot hear you.
Thank Rosa for demonstrating my answer, my point.
Yes, exactly. Can someone type in the chat, please? Rosa, we can't hear you. And could she type her question into the chat?
Can you hear me, please?
Yes, thank you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I just wanted to answer regarding the LAC RALO. We have made efforts on presenting, the survey in the last LAC RALO meeting. There is a version in Spanish now, and also I attend the meeting of LACNOC in Costa Rica and be talking with different people, different, members of at-large and non-members of at-large. And I think we will have more resources in the next few days. I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Thank you. Tijani, is that a new hand or an old hand?
New hand.
Okay, could you go
new
ahead?
New hand.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Tom, I think that the charts have to be updated according to the respondents from the other languages, because it will give us the sense of the amount of effort we have to do and outreach to make people take the survey. For your information,
okay,
I personally did a big effort on that. I sent several reminders to all the groups, and the staff did. I don't think, if there is other things to do, I don't know what we have to do. So we need to know what is the average of people who responded to our survey. Thank you.
I don't think there's much more to add there, apart from the fact that I can tell you now that we have five responses on the French, so it's not very high. It's only five responses compared to 150 on the English. But still, that will boost the response from that part of the world, and those five responses are mainly French African countries. But still, I think we do need to get more. So any communication support from the RALOs or AFRALO in this case would be much appreciated. And presumably you can use both links. The English survey and the French for the African region. But yeah, any support for all the regions would be much appreciated.
Thank you, Tom. Aida, go ahead, please. Aida, We don't hear you. Can you go? Your hand is raised.
Thank you. Thank you. This is Aida speaking. I just wanted to say that I had replied to the survey, and I had replied in Spanish. That would add a country and ALS to the survey. Thank you.
Thank you. Olivier? Go ahead, please. Olivier?
Frantically trying to unmute my stupid phone. Hello, it's Olivier Capanbron speaking. Is this working now?
Yes.
Excellent. Thanks. I did get a question recently. Well, just a couple of hours earlier, I sent a reminder to the Uralo mailing list. I got a response, a private response from some people who said they had already been interviewed by Tom at Eurodig, and they wondered why they would have to fill this again. And my response was, I think that the questions are different. I mean, is there? That was maybe one of the concerns.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there may be. That's a good point, and thank you. Thank you for that, Olivier. Maybe that we can take that into account in the communication, the messages that we send out from now on. This is a very different kind of exercise to the interviews that we were conducting in the earlier, and in fact, which we're still conducting. The aim of the interviews is to allow people to fairly freely, to allow the conversation to go where they feel that they have something that they need to say and to comment on regarding at large. The survey is a much more sort of guided process, which allows us to go also much deeper into the community to get responses from individual users. It's a very different exercise, and to come to your point about people who I may have actually interviewed already. Yes, but we do need to, even people like that, we would like them to reply to the survey, because quite often, in a way, the answers that they provide in the survey are enriched because of the conversations that we've already had, the interview conversation that we've already had. It's already given them time to think about, issues which they think are important. And so quite often that category of respondent provides us with quite interesting material in the written sections of the survey. So, please respond to our interviews, and please do the survey as well.
Thank you, Tom. Ellen, go ahead, please.
Thank you. A purely mechanical thing. My understanding was if you submit the survey at the end, you can go back to it if you're on the same computer. And I assume that's done with cookies or something like that. My experience was that didn't work. So I don't know if I'm just particularly inept. I did capture the URL that's presented at the end, the infinitely long URL, so I can go back and edit my questionnaire or finish it if I hadn't finished it. But the ability to recognize the same person on the same computer and allow them to get back into their survey seems to be broken, at least for me. So that might also impact the number of people who are able to fully complete the survey. I know when that happens to me in a general case, I just throw it away and say, I'm not going to bother doing this again. This is a waste of my time. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. And thank you for getting back into the survey and copying the URL and at least getting back that way. It is a concern to hear that you weren't able to get back into it as you should be able to get back into it from the same computer. I don't know why, to be honest, that's happening. We did run, as I think we mentioned last time, lots of tests to make sure that would happen. If it's any kind of reassurance, we have not had any complaints or any phone calls or messages or anything from anybody who's had a difficulty with the survey. The one thing we have noticed, but it's on with one or two respondents is that apparently somebody tried to fill it in and only got so far, and then perhaps changed their mind about some of the things that they wanted to say. But instead of getting back into the survey, they were able to respond a second time. And so we have two lines. That has happened on one occasion for the same respondent.
I would note what Vonda said in the chat, which is, I lost my first responses because I needed to stop and the system did not save it. So maybe you can have a look. I mean, you've already responded to that, Tom, but might have a look at Vonda's experience as well, which she brought to
okay.
his attention.
For the record, I'm using Firefox on Windows.
Okay.
We're
close to out of time, and we have a lot to get through. The next item is discussion of outreach ideas. Now, from the survey, you have identified, Tom, the groups, in fact, that you were trying to target. It was women. It was other SOs and ACs, the board, including the CEO. I don't know if he's replied, and ISOC. But mainly, it's ALAC that you were concerned about. And as we found out in the discussion, some ALAC members may not have been counted because of what they weren't doing the English survey, so that figure may be different. But if we can spend about 5 minutes thinking about the groups you particularly want to target for more, do people have strategies, or Tom, do you have strategies on how we might reach those particular groups, since those are the groups you've identified that you would like a response from? And maybe first to you, Tom, and Cheryl, and then anybody else with, and Lars, anybody else with additional ideas on how to get further input of the kind that you're looking for. So, Tom, a couple of minutes from you, and maybe Lars.
Okay, I mean, I don't think I need to add a huge much. This is Tom. Just to say that we've already said that we need to send out more messages through the mailing lists. We can do that with staff, but also counting on the members of At Large and the representatives of the RALOs. So various messages to go out there to the community, specifying perhaps in the message that women are strongly encouraged to respond, this kind of thing. I mean, that's what my main recommendation would be at this stage. Many more messages, actually specifically sort of spelling out the respondent types that we would like to hear from in particular.
Ellen?
Just to note that although women are pretty well represented in our various leadership positions, if you look at our incoming liaisons, we almost restrict it to women in some cases, seemingly. They're not equally represented in our overall at-large community, and therefore some of your targets are at odds with each other. If you want a higher representation of people who are actually active in at-large, that will again preserve your disparity in gender. And if you're forcing, if you target an increased participation in women, you're by definition likely to decrease the percentage of people who are very active and the ones who do participate.
Yeah.
So
absolutely,
just noting that those are competing things, and one is likely to suffer at the expense of the other, depending on how successful you are in each case. Just
very,
because
no,
of the
absolutely.
Demographics.
Point taken. I mean, and we're definitely not aiming to have a sort of a 50%. Some of these things are not these charts are not intended to be sort of red flags to say that we need to get exact sort of parity, but sometimes it's just a sort of an interesting reflection of who the community is. So it's more of that kind of piece of information. But still, I mean, it would be better to, we could slightly increase, somewhat increase that particular respondent category. And then otherwise, it's as I say, it's just drawing kind of conclusions on how the community is made up for that at a later stage.
Cheryl, do you have anything to add at this stage?
Yeah, very briefly, because my next call is calling me. The other thing, of course, is we are going to be accepting more input throughout Hyderabad and immediately following Hyderabad. And people looking at these figures will be inspired to go, well, gee, I better fill this out. And I think we should underestimate the power of when people have committed a week of their lives or 9 days of their lives to be at an ICANN meeting is possibly when they might find time to fill up survey as well. And at that, I really do have to go because I have to get to this other call. Sorry. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. And, we're about to go over time. We'll go a little bit over time. Tijana, you had one comment. Go ahead, please.
Sorry. Yes, Holly. I just on this slide, on this very slide, number 7, I have counted there is not 150 respondents. There is only 136. And all the percentage there are based on 136. So I don't understand how it is done that, like this. Thank you.
You know, Tom, I'm going to let you... I don't think we have time for a discussion about the percentages. Tijani, earlier in the call, we did hear Tom say these are rough estimates, and I think that by the time this chart is presented at Hyderabad, we would hope that all of the percentages are finalized, and I guess take Tijani's comment into account.
It's very simple to answer that question, which is that the 136 figure, which is no longer 136, because we've since during this call we've received two more responses, but so it's 138. But we have, in addition to that, we have 7 Latin American responses and 6 Africa. So I mean, so when you add up the total comes to 150. But that's why the figures that you've got on your charts add up are the figures for the English survey.
Okay. Well, I think Tom, what would be clear is everybody's going to be going through this with a fine tooth comb and with just checking out the figures and make sure they all work. And that the discrepancies that people have talked about, which you've explained. Maybe what I'm thinking of this presentation, a line or two of explanation so that the questions that were raised by the slides are answered before they're asked might be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Next question now. Do we have any more suggestions, and I didn't talk to Lars, on more outreach? I think we've covered that one pretty well. Have we not?
There's one question is that I am at ICANN meetings, at recent ICANN meetings, I have been aware of the sort of the women's breakfast or something. I mean, there's an organization.
Fonda has already in the chat said she's going to send out notices and talk specifically with Fonda to that. If you read the chat earlier on, already mentioned the DNS breakfast, so...
Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay.
That will keep the women's percentage. That will help the women's percentages. Trust
good.
Me. Any other suggestions? Okay. And Lara's staff is using ICANN org announcements and Twitter handles. So I think really we've done what we can at this stage. Now the face-to-face meeting. What would you like to achieve, Tom, at the face-to-face meeting? Clearly, there will be a presentation of this of the final version of this slide. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I mean, I think we need a good hour, if possible, in which we will present to you slides which will actually be quite different, to be honest, to the ones that you have seen today. There will be pie charts, of course. But there will be maps, there will be graphs, there will be bar charts, there will be a very different methods of representation that will be used, and they will be much finer looking in response to, well, the questions that you've raised and our plans all along, actually, to extrapolate findings in a much finer way. So, So there will be that. And then I think we really do need to, we will present to you some of the, you know, the main issues that are coming out from the in the comments section of the survey. And we would like to have the opportunity to engage in some kind of discussion with all those who are present at the Hyderabad meeting. And I think that, that will require a good hour, presentation.
Alan, you had your hand up. It's not down. Do you?
No, okay. I took it down deliberately. I don't need to waste time on it.
Okay. Aida, you have a question, a comment? Thank you. Aida? Well, look, why don't we hear from Nick Thorne while
Aida
is
speaking. Aida speaking.
Oh,
thank you. The face-to-face meeting will have no remote participation. Will there be remote participation? Because I will not be able to attend in person. That's my question. Thank you.
Tom, do you? I'm not sure I'd have an answer. Lars, can we leave that with you?
No problem, Holly. I strongly assume there will be remote participation, but we'll make sure.
Yes, I think so. We've all heard about the fire in the ship and what that might or might not do. But that's a good question. Thank you very much. Nick, you had a comment?
Yes, Holly, and good afternoon to everybody. Mine's a question, really. Could we please, or a request, could we please look forward to a briefing from the working group and perhaps from ICANN staff on the implications for our study of the IANA transition? I'm thinking particularly in the enhanced role for ALAC in that process.
Oh, my goodness.
Now that we've made the move. I don't want to go into it now, but I think it's something which we do need to address, and we, the items team, need guidance from you as to how this should impact our work. Thank you.
That is a huge question, Alan. We have not said, Nick, in response, I don't believe we've set time for that at all, but I think that's something we should be taking offline. And Cheryl and Alan and I are going to have to deal with that, because if you really want that, that's a big analysis to do, and it's a big discussion, quite separate from this. So, Alan, I'll be emailing you on that one.
I do appreciate that. What I wanted to do was to just put down the marker that this is out there, and we need to deal with it.
Yep. That's huge, yep. Okay, and probably, Nick, just to respond further, there are some people within ALAC who have spent a lot of their life on the transition who would be very familiar with that. It's a very, very different... It's a very, very different question, and I think we just deal with that separately. Okay?
Can someone mute Tijani, please?
Thank you. Okay, on the face-to-face meeting that we're talking about, and then I realize we're over time, that's okay. My suggestion is, if you want a lot of time for the issues raised, that the presentation probably should take no more than 15 minutes to go through, that everybody can look at it. I'm concerned that if it's a big presentation, you won't have time. Either that, or we should have an hour and a half. And I don't know where we're going to get an hour and a half. But
okay.
Tom, it's maybe something that you and I and Cheryl and maybe Alan can liaise with. But 1 hour, with enough time for everyone in the room to raise questions, is a bit of a challenge. And in fact, if people can have a look beforehand at the presentation and formulate their questions and possibly feed them back to you, that may actually save a lot of time. But I am concerned that given the amount of information that's in these slides, if you're going to do a much bigger pack, you will be lucky to get through the hour, and that will leave no time for discussion, which is what I think you really want to get out of the meeting anyway. So maybe offline, could we plan that so that we've got plenty of time for questions and maybe get something out beforehand? I mean, Alan, how do you feel about that?
Our experience with people preparing doing their homework and preparing questions is not particularly good. So be aware of that. They're nice words, but in practice it doesn't seem to work very well. The participation we get in these webinars just before a meeting is very, very slim, especially if it's a targeted subject. How we're going to find an hour and a half for a general session, we haven't done the agenda planning yet. We're very late on it because ICANN still has not come out with what the high-interest topics are going to be, and it's not clear when that's going to be, when that's going to happen. This is going to be yet another meeting that's going to be a real problem for agendas. And I don't know at this point. We will certainly try.
Okay. And both Sebastian and Eduardo have raised an important point or an important suggestion, which is any chance of a webinar. And I don't know if we'll have time for a webinar. Could I just ask either Sebastian or Eduardo and you, Tom, if we can't do it before, could it be afterwards, particularly since you are thinking about a timeline that extends when the final report is in?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Ariel, sorry. Our time is from 12:45 to 13:45. And, you know, that's lunchtime. I hate to say that, but that's lunchtime, and that means instead of having 1 hour, we're going to have 45 minutes. Because people are going to want to eat.
No, Holly, that's incorrect. The lunchtime is an hour and a half.
Oh, is it? Okay, well, maybe we can actually eat into the lunchtime hour and a half. Maybe we can just ask people to bring something and bring it to the table, which is how we'll extend that time.
Number one, on the face-to-face, that's on the first formal day of the meeting. Some of us have conflicts on that day, but this is lunch, and we are presuming that the GNSO PDPs will be breaking for lunch at the same time. That's an assumption. If that doesn't happen, we're in big trouble. And as Eduardo pointed out, since he's there on the NOMCOM dollar, he doesn't get there in time for that meeting. There's not much we can do about that.
No, Tom, I think we're stuck with an hour, okay? And so
okay,
I think we're going to have to hear from
the plan. That's for the face-to-face, for the at-large working party, not the general meeting, which we're now going to try to schedule.
Okay. Maybe the working party, Tom, let's actually sit down and allow a lot of time for questions so that we can get those questions into a presentation for later, okay?
Okay.
I think that works.
Okay.
I think we can do a bit of tic-tacking on the face-to-face as well. The draft report, now you're saying next steps draft report. I note that you would like to extend the timeline. I don't know that we can agree at this meeting because are you saying that's in your contract? And
we have a 30th of November provisional deadline for the interim report.
Okay, well, we're not signatories to that contract, so we can't make a decision. I think that's a matter between you and Larissa, really. Is it not?
Okay.
I mean, are you asking us, are we comfortable with that? Or are you telling me this is what you will be asking?
First of all, I think as we're doing this review with you and in discussion with you, it's like whether we would have your approval to extend it by a week. The reason for the extension is that we need to have this time to work on together on the draft, and so it would just postpone it by a week. And so we're asking for your sort of validation of that, and then we will put that to ICANN staff just to see if that can be agreed.
Well, I think Larissa's hand is up, and I think I'd like to listen to her first. Thank you. Larissa, go ahead.
Thank you, Holly. This is Larissa Gurnick. Tom, I think we can have a discussion about the timeline. What was included in the contract was always intended as the best estimate that we had back in April when this information was put together. And I think every step of the way we've always wanted to be very flexible to a point to make sure that the quality work that the at-large community deserves and expects from ICANN can actually be delivered. So I think this just falls under one of those administrative discussions. We need to make sure that your proposed timing works with the holidays, gives the working party enough time to consider the draft report, the posting for public comments, and you know, and all those other connected elements. But I don't anticipate that this will be a big issue, because I think everybody's interests are to make sure that you have enough time to analyze information and produce a high-quality draft. Thank you.
Thank you. Ellen, go ahead, please.
To whatever extent my opinion counts, I support the delay if that's what's going to get a better quality report, and if that means the other steps also have to be delayed or changed because of the holiday interactions with holidays and stuff like that, so be it. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay, we've dealt with the face-to-face meeting. Now, Tom, I think we've covered the draft report. Is that correct? I think we have.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other business?
Not from our side, no.
Okay. Well, look, I think we've only gone about 15 minutes over time, which is excellent. Thank you very much. I think that Nick's suggestion for some kind of presentation on the implications of IANA is really a very interesting one. I think that's something that we'll just have to take offline and think through how we're going to manage that as well. And it may do maybe something that we just do over a glass of beer or something. I'm not sure. But that's something that is a very separate issue that we'll have to deal with otherwise. But, Tom, look, thank you very much for the slides and for your explanation, and I'd like to thank everybody else for all of your time and even the excessive time. Is there anything else that anybody would like to say, or in which case, otherwise, this meeting has come to an end. Thank you. Tom, anything else, any last words?
No, well, just to thank you, and we remain, you know, available to answer any questions that you may have regarding this or other issues to do with the review. And otherwise, no, that's it from us, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, and a reminder to everybody, please urge everyone who hasn't filled out the survey to do so, and Lars, if you can just go ahead with your comments, your suggestions on what else we can do to increase the input. Otherwise, thank you, and see you later. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Holly.
This meeting is now adjourned. The audio will now be disconnected. Thank you very much for your participation, and have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye.